don't come to church because we solemnly want to worship a guy still on the cross. He's not there anymore. He's not there. The tomb is empty. The church should be the one place that you celebrate. We are not going to bury Jesus. He's not there. It's done. The Bible says he died once and for all. That's it. And so if you come from a place that doesn't celebrate him, I'm sorry. We celebrate him here. We celebrate him here because we know what he took us from. We know the fear that, and if we were to be honest in here, we know the fear that people were under and the intensity of that fear and what it looked like. We don't serve a Jesus who's half-hearted. We don't serve a Jesus who's not in with us. Jesus is in with you, in with you. He didn't just create you and let you to do it on your own. He's in with you. He's in it with you. He's the very one right now who's actually keeping it together for you. You know that, right? Yeah, because it's in him we live and move and have our being. In him we do it. And so you're straight because he made you straight. Okay? You were crooked, but, and some of you would say, what does that mean? You'll figure it out later. You're straight because he made you straight. Okay? God knows what he's doing and what he has set up and how things are supposed to work. We're in the last week of our series called Kiss. And we're talking about sanctification today and what that looks like. Sanctification is one of the most difficult things for people not only to talk about, but to walk through. Because it is not just about salvation and not just about adorning yourself to the fact that Jesus died on the cross and purchased salvation for you, but it is about you now walking in a process of sanctification that is going to take your life, a repeated giving over of your life so that God can do the work in you that he died to give you. So he died to give it to me, but now in my response, I have to give my life back over to him so he can complete the process in us. He doesn't just beam you out when he saved you. He said, now you're coming into a process with me that's going to be long, it's going to be arduous at times, and it's going to be narrow and dark, but I'm with you. It is not an invitation to avoid life's problems and to sidestep suffering or trouble. That is not what Christianity is about. When you pull everything aside and the worship and the reading of the word and all the elements and the essentials and the basis of Christianity is a real walk with Christ. Real walk. A process of sanctification that many don't survive long term. Don't survive. The book of John, chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Go back to the previous screen, please, Ellen. He cuts off every branch. God said, I'm not going to keep you the way that you are right now. I know how to work. And the way this is going to work is that you have to have the ability to stay with Jesus during this cutting process. If you don't stay with him during the cutting process, you won't make it. Because he gives you the strength to be able to handle a cut. So we have a lot of people who are in this process right now, but because it's uncomfortable, they can't stay in it. And they end up bailing out of the process before the work is actually complete. It's one of the reasons why the New Testament talks about persevering till the end. It's not just talking about eternity. It's talking about persevering now in this life so that when you have completed that process, you can receive the crown of life that he promised you. There is life that he wants to give you now, but it's a process that you have to go through and persevere in order to get it. You have life positionally because he gave it to you, but it's not produced in your life unless there's a completion of a process. That's why we embrace endings and new beginnings as Christians. Because he allows things to die for a reason so he can bring things back to life in Jesus' name. That's why he lets relationships go. And he said, I need you to cut that relationship off because it's not producing life in you. It's actually starting to kill you. And so if you were to look at your relationships and you would take stock, you would see how God has supernaturally began to orchestrate the leaving of people. Because people might be able to help you in one season of your life, but when it comes time for the next season, God said it's time to let that go. We've got to move on because you've graduated from that season and I have something else for you. Cuts off every branch. Then he says he prunes, and that word means cleans. You're already clean because of what Jesus has done for you. You know that positionally, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That does not change. If you are a Christian in here and you call yourself a Christian and the Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, you are in right standing with him. That's why when you pray, he can hear you. God the Father can hear you because he sees the blood that shed over your life and says, okay, that's one of mine. What you got? You have access because of what Jesus has done. No Jesus, no access. You could try to put someone else there to get access. It doesn't work that way. God looks for his son and only his son. If you are blood bought and you're one of his, you're counted as righteous. And God said, all right, come on, what you got for me? Because my son has made you right in me. Not only has he made you right in me, it's given you access to be able to freely talk to me when you want because of him. So when the enemy comes in and try to bring condemnation into your life, you have to know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because he has set you free from that. So if you're feeling condemnation today, it's not coming from the Lord. Furthermore, if he has already set you free, you have a responsibility to appropriate that freedom to your life right now. He is not going to do it for you. He has already done the work for you positionally, and now he gives you the ability yourself to say no to sin and to continue to stay in that path of freedom. You have a responsibility. I can't do anything else, he said, to set you more free than you are right now. You are free. You are free. Now you have to appropriate that in your life. I don't feel free. That's the problem. It doesn't negate the fact that I am free just because you don't feel free. I am free because by faith I know what he's done. This is how it works in Christianity. I don't feel it, but I do it. Then the feelings come. This is how it works in the world. I don't feel it. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm going to do it by faith because when I do it by faith, guess what? Ooh, I just felt joy. Why? Because I'm calling for things that are not as though they are, and he responds to faith. That's what I'm looking for, church. I'm looking for faith. So when you stand and praise me in the midst of trouble and circumstances, guess what? And you draw near to me, I draw near to you. This is the relationship we have. I've given you the gift of faith. Use it. God said, you're not using it. Use it. I don't feel saved. It doesn't mean that you're not. I am saved because of what he's done. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Walk by faith, and all of a sudden, things are beginning to kick up in your life. And you'll begin to start walking in confidence to know whose you are. Your feelings are your feelings. But God has gotten to the point, and I am telling you this out of love. To help you to see that your feelings are not what God responds to. He didn't feel like dying on the cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I got you now, son. He gives in the feelings, you're still lost. No Jesus, no salvation. No Jesus, no truth. No Jesus, you don't really know the way. But because of what he did now you have access because he did it by faith. By faith. You're going to do it by faith. I don't feel like I'm healed in my body. Just start walking in faith like you are. And don't come at me with the fact, well, what if I don't get healed here? You get healed in heaven. Don't come at me at the fact, because people, what they do is they don't believe God like they should, because if I don't, I need to have the out, see? So I'd rather not believe, because if I do believe and I don't get healed, then I have credence to say, he didn't do it for me. And you don't realize that God is not looking for your outcome. He's looking for his outcome in your life. So if you die and you're not healed, Jenny, you will stand before him, what? Healed and whole. But that doesn't negate the fact that you don't need to believe God now for your healing. Why spend the rest of your life in distress and in discouragement when he died to give you those things? I am healed in Jesus' name. Why wait? Why wait? Well, I'm not going to get it. You probably won't. I'll never have a good marriage. Probably not.
Probably not.
But I'm going to have a good one. Why would God do that and then keep you here for 70 and 80 years and say, just struggle and figure it out. When you get to heaven, it'd all be good. What kind of a testimony is that to a world that he's trying to save if his believers are stuck in dysfunction and broken and they can't pay their bills and they can't do what God's called them to do? What kind of God would it be if he did it halfway and you limp the rest of your life? I'm not saying you're not going to struggle. As long as you're in this body, you're going to struggle. But what kind of a God would it be if God can't do what he says he's going to do? What kind of a testimony is that to the world who's lost and dying that you're supposed to go out and witness to and be like, well, he really didn't do it for me. So I listen, on a side note, I'd try something else. What a disgrace, because when you get to heaven and he looks at you and says, I never knew you, man. Remember that one time you said that, try something else? You don't think God hears? Nobody's talking about the fact that you don't wrestle with doubt. But God said, don't let doubt have you. Get up over that thing. If I gave you the ability to overcome by the blood of what I did, and you're an overcomer, I need you to learn how to overcome that. It's going to come. The enemy is going to throw the doubt. He's going to throw the fear. But you got to learn to overcome it. I've given you the ability to overcome it. See it. Overcome it. You're an overcomer. I don't feel like one. We got to change that. Because you keep walking around in dysfunction thinking that God doesn't love you. The fact of the matter is that God loves you. He's done everything that he can for you. Now it's up to you to receive it and walk in it. Well, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. The world wants a quick fix. Here's the fix. It's Jesus. Well, is there anything else? No, it's nothing else. Why? Because then you have to reconcile to yourself that there is someone who is greater than you and that who's in control and that who knows the end from the beginning and that who knows the way your life should be. And you don't want to give that power over to someone because you think that you still need to be in control. And the reality of it is you're not. We are trying to control circumstances and situations in this world right now where God says you are not in control. If you are let just things happen and you actually become part of what I'm doing, you will see that I'm gonna work it all out. God is not saying don't become part of the solution. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is allow me to work it out. Not to the point of where you doubt God because, well, the last 2 years have been hell, so where have you been, God? Well, he's been right there. No God over the last 2 years? We have problems. I want you to look around in your circles of influence right now. Who is not there anymore? Pre-COVID, they were all in. You guys were like riding high. 2 years later, they're still in their house. Where'd you go? By faith, we're going to do this. And this is the question. Not only the question, but this is Jesus' response to you when you're in this process. Stay with me. Stay with me. One of the things that first responders do when they come onto the scene is that they begin to assess the situation. But you see, a lot of the times, if the person is in need of CPR, they'll begin to perform CPR. And then sometimes you'll see them like shake them a little bit and say, hey, stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because they're trying to help them listen to the fact that there is someone outside of their circumstance trying to help them. If you can just hear my voice, hey, I'm here, I got you. Just stay with me. This is what the process of sanctification looks like, because it's tough and it's arduous, and his spirit says, hey, just stay with him. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I got you. Just listen to my voice. Listen, listen, listen. I got you. I got you. This is why you can't trust people during the sanctification process. You need one voice. Because only he knows what he's cutting. Only he knows what he's pruning. So when he looks down at you and he says, I need you to follow me and just hear my voice, I'm going to get you through this. All right, I got you, Lord. It's one of the reasons why the last couple years has also been a blessing for the body, if you could just see it. Because God has allowed the body to get to a point of where all the other voices can be shut out. And you can hear and listen for the voice of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, you wouldn't have made it if you didn't listen to the right voice. Because people will tell you all sorts of stuff to get you to jump off your ledge for their ledge. And the fact of the matter is that they're on their ledge and God has asked them to do something, but they like to interfere with other people because they don't like their process. And so what happens is then we get a dysfunctional process between us because you don't like your process. Stay in your process. You don't need to be in mine. I can't believe that you're not vaccinated. I can't believe, yeah, that's my process. You have a problem with it? It's my process. I can't believe it. It doesn't matter what you think. But it, for some people, it does. I know the process that I've been in, and it takes all of that for me to continue because of the work that he's doing. I need his strength in order to help me in this process. If I invite you in the process and get your mess in, then we're going to be entangled. And now we have some problems. So that's why God begins to separate people out and says, all right, I'm going to cut off every branch. I'm done with them, with you. Keep moving. Lord, come on. Isn't that one of the reasons why when, and I said this before, when he's talking to Peter on the beach, after he restores Peter, when Peter denied Jesus, and they're having a conversation, and Jesus was ever so lovingly trying to ask Peter, do you love me? And after three times, Peter's like, yes, I do love you. And he says, feed my sheep. And he feels like he's restored back in God's good graces. And it gives him a little bit of a license to probe Jesus a little bit further. And he says, all right, Lord, all right, now that we're back, what about them? You don't worry about them. You don't worry about them. So what's it to you if I keep them alive until I come back? What's it to you? All right. Okay. Oh, I got that one, Lord. Thanks. But you get messed up because you're worrying about everybody else. Well, what about them, Lord? You don't worry about them. I got them. I know what I'm doing with them. Do you? No, I got it then. Stay with me. Because there'll come a time where that process will be over and you'll be able to see a lot of what I was doing. And you'll thank me for the fact that they went. You'll thank me for the fact that I was your source. You'll thank me for the fact that I was the solution. You'll thank me for the fact that I did something in you that no man can do. You'll thank me. That's why we sing songs like I Thank God, because I thank God for what he's done and what he did. I'm thanking God for it. Thank you, Jesus, for who you took.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And if you look back, you're like, they had to go. You didn't like it, but they had to go. That's why you can't hold on to people. So why sanctification? Why is it important? What does he use to get us into this process? And it's real simple. It's pressure. I'm going to pressure wash you until all that stuff comes up so we can deal with it. And you might say to yourself, you know, I really felt like I've gotten to a great place with the Lord where there was not much left for me to deal with until the Lord says, ah, your season's over, so let's move into another one. You ever notice that with the Lord? Lord's like, hey, listen, you like this view up here? Just remember this view. Just remember it. Just remember it. Okay, we're going back down in. Because, listen, the next one, we're going to come back up, but don't worry about it. We're going to go higher on the next one. Higher next one. So, okay, higher. And that's how it is, from faith to faith and glory to glory. Don't worry, I got you. When we go back down, I got you. Don't worry. I'm not taking away the work I did. This is important. I'm not taking the work I did. I'm just adding to it now. Just don't worry about it. Why? Because I'm pruning it so you can bear even more fruit so that when we get back up, you're a big bouquet now. Right. You walking around like, man, I'll tell you, I got so much fruit. I got to unload this somewhere. I got so much fruit because that's what lasts. That's what lasts. Bouquet of fruit. More confidence, more determination, more joy. A lot of times we think, well, it's just the fruit of the Spirit is specific to Galatians. Specific. It's only love, joy. No, it's more than that. No, it's hope. Hope's also a fruit. Oh, yeah. Perseverance, I'm saying it's also a fruit. You got to learn it. It's got to be developed in your life. And the only way that you develop perseverance is that if he allows you in a situation that does not change when you want it to change. And he says, you got to keep churning and you got to keep going, because what I'm doing is I'm building something in you so that you can understand the blessing of this. Because the results is what you want. I know you don't like the process, but the result, and I'll overlook the way you feel about the process. Because I know the results. That's how good God is. That's why you don't need to feel shame or condemnation for the way you act during the process. Because he knows, as a kid who's being weaned, he understands the frustration and the disillusionment that takes place during that process, and he loves you through it anyway. Because he knows that that's what it takes. You don't think he knows that there are going to be outbursts? You don't think he knows that there are going to be times where your flesh, what's dying? Your flesh. You don't think he allows that? That's where intimacy is developed. If you see me during that time and you love me, then listen, I'll take you anytime. Because there's no one who can love you like Jesus through that. Because only he knows what he's cutting. And it's not just about your past. We get stuck there. He's cutting for your future. You fall in love with that part, and that's great, but there comes a time where that's done. God said, now I'm cutting for your future. You've graduated from there. So we got to strengthen ourselves so that we can hold for what the future is. Yeah, I'm excited about the future. I am. And so I'm going to continue to cut, he said, because I know what's in you. And secretly, deep down, I know you like the pressure. because you see what it does for you. I don't care what anybody says. You like the way you look after process. You don't like what it takes to get you there, but you like the process. And even in that, God can give you the grace just to begin to embrace the process for the result. I wouldn't trade what I've gone through for who I am today. No. It's done things inside of me that I cannot measure. And it's given me the ability to see God in different lights and frames that I never would have if God would have just left me off the side just to flounder. He said, now I'm going to get you in this thing and you're going to like it, whether you like it or not. You're going to like it because you know I love you. And once you begin to see that I love you, you're going to begin to move through this stuff and embrace it. And ask my wife now. She says you are sick. Thank you, Jesus, for that ability just to be able to go through and take and say, cut what you must. Let's just go ahead and do it. Why wait on the sideline? If you know that it's motivated by love, you'll do it. And you know, if you've seen the result, you'll do it. You'll do it. I want to lose weight. Do it. There's a certain breed of people that Jesus is looking for. If you look at the 12, they were not the most outstanding. But they were willing. And if you look at their lives, they weren't polished. But they were insistent about following him. Insistent. And so God would take willingness over polished any day. It's one of the reasons why when he goes to use someone, he doesn't look for someone who's polished. Because he knows that he's going to polish them. And so you might be in a situation right now where you feel like, gosh, just, man, he's just buffing me out. It's good. It's good for you. It's good for you. You look better, actually. You look better. And you feel better. You feel better. After he begins to do the work, you feel better. Oh, you know, thank you, Lord. I haven't been able to move that area of my life in a long time. I'm beginning to move it now. I'm seeing more movement there. Thank you that you got in there when I couldn't. Man, there are things in my life right now that I see movement in that I haven't seen in years. Years. Because he got in and tweaked some stuff. Because it's about my future and what he has. Son, I'm calling you into a hope and a future. Forgetting those things that are behind, there's something ahead of me. I've done the work in your past. I freed you from that. Let's walk this way. But too many people are in love with how it was because they're afraid of what it might be. And God said, if you would trust me, if you could have trusted me to get you this far, trust me to get you the next step. Hope in the future. I'm not trading my life now for how it was. And you might be in here today right now and you're debating whether or not you want to continue in this process because it's just too hard. It's good for you. Stay in it. No discipline seems pleasant. It's not pleasant. But if you can endure it, you will yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness the Bible talks about. Because it's discipline motivated by love. It's not motivated by hate. It's motivated by love. He said, I got something for you. But if you're going to do what I've called you to do, you've got to allow me to do and work in the process because I know how it's supposed to work. We've forgotten that. God knows how it's supposed to work. You ever got these epiphanies, and we're about ready to close. You ever got these epiphanies when you're outside, you're like, man, who created all this stuff? Or you get that glimpse like, man, you did all this? You did all this? And you try to figure it out, and you can't, and it's going to drive you crazy. You're like, I just trust. We're spinning right now, but I'm still, I don't know. And it gives you perspective that the God who created the universe, and not just the universe, but the whole galaxies, and seeing how it works and how everything operates and is in proportion to one another. If that's the God who's making it all work, and I'm still in a position of stability because of everything around me that's moving, I think I can trust him with the fact that I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he created me, and that if he created me, he knows how I'm supposed to operate. He knows my DNA. He knows how I'm wired. And so I can trust him more and more with the fact that if God says, I got something for you to do, I got something for you to do. If God says, lay that down, I'll lay that down. If God says, you don't need that in your life anymore, guess what? I don't need it in my life anymore. Why? Because he knows me. He knows me. But you don't get that unless you allow him to get to cutting. Pressure. There's another version of you beneath that. All the stuff that's coming up, you're like, man, that's just, I can't believe that's there. Guess what? The clean version of you is just right there. Because what does God see? He sees his spirit that's already inside of you. And he sees the fact that he already gave you a new nature. And he's already given you a new heart, but there's just residue that's got to come up from it. And it's messing you up in your alignment a little bit. You're still a little crooked. And so he comes to make it straight. And the way that he comes to make it straight is, I'm going to put some pressure on that thing. I'm going to pop the thing up. One of the greatest things that I like to see, because I'm all about presentation in my house and like my driveway and my grass, when I see a pressurized driveway, I'm like, man, there you are. It feels good. There have been times where I would sit there in our old house. I would just sit here for like hours. I liked what I saw underneath because that's what I was looking for. Sometimes God would just sit on it. Lord, can you move from that? Just that spot. Move from that spot. It's getting irritating. Okay? No, but there's, believe me, there's something there. There's something there. And then when it starts to shine, all right, he'll start to move. But God does it slowly. And he knows the amount of pressure to use. And in the end, it feels good. You might be worn out, but you feel good. Your emotions might be a little bit erratic, but you feel good because of the last one he brought you through. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through that. Why? Because you know what? Now the Spirit of God supersedes the way I felt about that situation. And now I can move on because it's not about my feeling. If you say go, I'm going to go because of the fact that I can trust you. No matter how I feel, my feelings will catch up. And even if they don't right away, it's cool. I'm still going. Let's all stand on our feet if we could. Ben, come on up. He said, I didn't ask you how you feel about it. Hear me. I know how you feel about it. I know how you feel. I didn't ask you to rehearse back to me how you feel about it. I already know. I already know your desires. I already know what I place in there. I know. You don't have to worry about me getting you to where I need you to be. I'll get you there. What I need you to do is stay with me, though. Because I'm going to move you through seasons. I'm going to move you through things quickly and quicker if you just stay with me as opposed to me having to go get you all the time and put you back in the process. And if you hear me right now on this video and you might be saying to yourself, I'm far out. Good thing about God is he has a long arm. He can bring you back into the process. And maybe that's you. You just bailed out. But he wants to bring you back in to where you can do the work. The work is going to get done either way. It's a matter of your cooperation on how fast you get through. You can go through a wilderness experience that you don't have to for longer than you need. What should have been maybe an 11-day journey took Israelites 40 years. You can run the other way when God calls you to go to a certain city and say, I'm not going to go to that city, and catch a boat and God will have to send a fish to come get you, swallow you up. Just so you know, God says that I know how to even speak to animals. So, because I created them. You can try to hide yourself among people so that God doesn't see. But everything is laid out and open for God so that nothing is hidden from him. So even when you think you're hiding, you're not. God said, you can even try to bury yourself in self-doubt and pity. I still see you there. And I'll make it so uncomfortable that we both can't be there at the same time. So guess who's getting out? You. We do that, by the way. We say, well, I'm just going to hide. God said, what are you doing? I'm already there. So get back out. God will prop you out of stuff just because he doesn't want you there. You can do all that and try, he doesn't see me. He sees you, quit playing. All the stuff you post, but you really don't mean. All that stuff that you show, that God says, that's not the real you. God says, I already got you. So why not play free, man, in your relationship with the Lord and just be you? And be you in your process, because the authentic you is what God wants and it's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. But I just can't take the pressure. You can take it. You can take it. There's a difference in being in a situation that's packed with pressure when you're in sin. When you're compromising, that just compounds the issue. But when you're walking and you're being obedient to God and all of a sudden there's pressure, it's good because his grace is sufficient for you there. But if you're outside the will of God and you're trying to do something apart from God's will for you, God said, how can my grace extend all the way out there the way it needs to be? If you were here, I could help you a little bit. But if you're stepping outside my will, I have to let a little bit of stuff happen. We don't want to hear that though, because we want to look at, well, God's great. God forgives everything. God forgives everything. He's all loving. There is a misnomer in the body of Christ right now that God winks at stuff and allows things and there are no repercussions. That a lie from the enemy? There's a lie. Ask anybody in here or people that you've known who have walked through seasons of their life who were compromised and were not walking in God's will if they would go back and do it again. Because what it took to get them all the way back to where they felt like they were in right standing. It doesn't mean God didn't forgive, but they had to walk through all that to get back into a place emotionally and mentally where they were in a good spot. Ask them if they would go back. I would love to do that again. Probably not. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I got you in jail, but I'm with you. Liberty. I know you're going before Pilate, but I got you because I'm with you. I know you're going on your job you don't like, but I got you. I'm with you. I know you're battling things and there are things that are happening in your life you don't understand, but I got you. I'm in the unknown. I got you. For every person in this room, Lord, who's in a season of being washed, Lord, we thank you for the pressure. We thank you for your blood that's sufficient. Gives us access to you so we don't have to walk in condemnation. We also thank you that you are building something in us to help us overcome. We thank you for the ability to overcome, and when situations come in, to engage and rise above it. No more turning back. Lord, when that place in our life wants to turn back, I pray that you would straighten it back out and help us to walk continually with you. Every struggle in this room, financially, emotionally, physically, straighten out those things that are crooked and are not making sense right now. As people begin to align themselves with you and put you first again, I pray that you would straighten it out. God, even in this room right now, bodies being restored back to health in Jesus' name. Lord, strength in areas that they didn't even know were there. God, I pray that you would, stuff that got messed up when they were kids, thank you, God, that you're straightening it out even now, right now. Stuff that's hindering their progress physically, God, I pray that you would just, stuff they didn't even know, God, you would come in, just begin to rebuild stuff. Lord, as they prioritize their health, straighten them out. Lord, even in that, as we know there's a correlation between that and emotional health, God, I pray that you would begin emotionally to heal areas of the life that are cracked. Get them over dad issues. Get them over mom issues. As they see that they're valued and loved in you, that we are your sons and daughters, that you died to give us new life, and that our relationship with you is the most important, and that we are tied into you. And God, I pray as we are tied into you that everything else that is holding us has to break. Break every tie. God, break every soul tie. Every tie that's in here that's vying for their emotions, break it down. Lord, everything that's sucking the life out of them, God, help them cut them off. God, help those things in their life that are not helping them prosper, God, to dissipate. God, prune, clean. God, do the things that need to be done so that they can see who they are in you, so that they would know that they are created in the image of a creator who loves them and who fearfully and wonderfully has created them with a specific purpose in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.